Wait, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
And seltzer
water.
And a
bag of radishes.
Yo, that is a new low.
A bag of cut up radishes with some salt and some lemon juice.
A new high and low, depending how you look at it. I'm in one sense so impressed and another sense so disgusted.
Radishes are good, man.
Really? Are they good? I don't know if I've ever had a radish.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know where there's hot chicks, don't go to a one-up event.
Nope. By the way, the fact that you acted surprised at that, were you acting?
Nah.
You actually believed it.
Nah, you know, I mean, what I said, we had the live Juan Epstein last night with Funk Flex.
Woo.
And I go on stage and I'm like, this shit is dude heavy.
Yeah, by the way, and I have an update for you, Saif. Get ready for this. Get ready.
Yeah.
The people who are listening to this
already
listened to that.
Nah, I mean, what if this is the first time they've ever heard
it? You know what? You're right. And if this is your first time, I hope you're listening on iTunes. And if not, you should subscribe. I want to give credit to DJ Juanito, who did a really nice, appropriate set. A good one. Did you hear a set at all?
I did. It was very good.
He played the right stuff.
He played a Biggie joint. Did you play a Biggie joint that was not an album version? Like it was like the first version, original version or something? Freestyle? No, not a freestyle. Not an original version of something.
Oh my God, guys! I just got something iconic.
All right,
the Drewski just sent me the video of Billy Jr. making out with a girl last night.
Oh no, in the club, on the dance floor, full throttle, yo. I think it was Charlie's Angels, full throttle.
Who is this bitch?
Imagine that's later in the night. That's after we laughed about it and said he's making out with some chick ferociously.
Her face looks okay.
In the background? You got Tony Sunshine in the background?
Is that what's playing?
Yeah.
How'd she look?
Jace? I don't know, Jace.
Just a Jace.
No, she was cute. Like when I first saw her, mind you, my new assistant, Gabby, I'm DJing and Santos, you're up on a ledge. So she's just banging on my leg. I thought somebody was like harassing her or something.
This girl did?
Yeah. No, Gabby.
Oh, Gabby started banging your leg. Why?
Because she wanted to show me that Billy Jr. was making out with some chick. So she's like, I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I can't. Billy Jr., we forced him to do the intro last night. He was perfectly awful.
It was awesome.
I got to play it.
I thought it was great.
I got to play it. Hey, Juanito. If you pull up Juan Epstein on your MP3 computer, will we hear it through the speakers and play it on the podcast? Yeah, pull that up real quick. The beginning of the podcast. Billy Jr. gets forced to do the intro where he does a perfectly terrible, awesome job. Although he said the line that I said to say. He delivered the line.
Yeah.
But the best thing was how down he was when he introduced our names. He's like, Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg. Like, he didn't even understand the concept of picking it up. Trinae was like, you should have me do it. I would have hyped them up. I'm like, no, Trinae. That's not what the point is. The point was for it to be terrible. But then, here's the best thing. And I want to dissect this audio of him doing it because you can hear the second the crowd responds when he said, I'm Billy Jr.
Yeah,
and they cheered, his next line was like,
like
he got a little bit of
con. And I was like,
he got a little bit of confidence. And it obviously carried over.
But
to him then making out with a chick in the club.
Yeah, I think it all stemmed from there. But he didn't, the people didn't know who he was at first.
When he just walked out?
Yeah.
No.
I thought they would know him.
Hold on.
Hey. What's up, guys? I'm Billy Jr. I don't know if you know me. What's up, guys?
Speak louder. Say it with your chest.
I'm nervous as hell right now, but you're here at the live Juan Epstein in Brooklyn. I'm fucking shaking. And I'm going to introduce you guys to the hosts of the greatest hip-hop podcast in history, Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg. Here we go.
All right, thanks, Juanito. How down could you possibly be?
Well, you got to understand right before that,
Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg.
Flex was DJing. Flex blew his shine, his intro. He starts DJing. And then, so I tell Billy, go get Flex off and start the show. He's like, no, I don't want that. I said, get on the mic, tell Flex to get off and to come backstage.
By the way, I don't know what it is. My mic for some reason, smells like Fat Man Scoop farted
this
on it.
Right here?
Farted on it for a year straight.
Oh, God. That's gross.
It really does. I'm trying to think of what other disgusting Hot 97, like what just disgusting body at Hot 97 could have.
Dre from Ed and Dre.
Like Dr. Dre had this in his ass crack for 3 months. Oh, God. But anyways, it was pretty good, man. Flex was, he surpassed my expectations. Would you agree
awesome.
With that?
Yeah. Thought he was going to get weird and generic, man. He was fucking awesome.
I was very impressed by that. I didn't know that would be the case. And so I was quite pleased. You know, I hate when people send me flyers for stuff the day of. Oh, my gosh. This is even worse. An event with about an artist? Oh, my God. Sife, get I got to say this. Am I allowed? Do you think I'm allowed to make fun of? Is it a bad idea to quietly and just make fun of something I'm doing a sponsorship for on the air?
Yes.
Shouldn't do it.
Don't do it.
Ugh.
It's never worth it.
When it's over?
It's not about that sponsor.
It's about other sponsors.
Yeah. Other sponsors. Like he treats.
No, I'm going to treat it great on the radio. It would only be privately. Like, I consider this private, but you're right. It shouldn't.
Yeah,
it's not private. The fact of the matter is this isn't private. But in a few weeks.
Oh, judging from last night.
No, look at us. We're out here. In a few weeks when I tell you. And it's not that I don't think it could be good, the thing that I'm promoting. And I am a good person to promote it. But when it's described, it sounds insane. No, I was impressed. I was pleased. You know what I liked about it is that it's just nice that the people who've stuck with us. Here's the thing about Juan Epstein. What makes Juan Epstein great is exactly what makes it shit. It's the sincere disorganization. And the show has no pretense. There's nothing. It's completely, like, no matter what you want to say about the other podcasts that are similar to our genre, they were a very committed effort to do a thing.
Yeah.
We're going to do this thing. And here's how it's going to go. And then hopefully we're going to get sponsors. There's never been an expectation of this show. Until, I mean, we're trying to set it up now.
Yeah, but even if we came out last night with a video intro of all the celebs that've been on One App and a speech, someone comes out and bigs us up, it would have been corny. Billy Jr. walking out and stuttering to introduce us was fucking the set off.
No, well, it's the difference. It's the difference between a podcast that's a podcast for a podcast sake, and a podcast like ours, which is a radio guys doing another show that just can't be on the radio. Like, I realized that when we were doing the introduction. I'm like, God, we have Jen from Brooklyn, Juanito, the tallest Mexican. All these people that have been characters.
My K-Fox joke came off.
K-Fox joke.
Yo, my fucking, let me tell you how popular we are.
Wow. Oh, I'm excited.
So after we did the One Up Live, I went to Tony Touch's party, Santos. He's doing my improv show Friday. I did his
that's why you were
throwback
Santos.
Thing on Tuesdays.
Okay.
So me, Drewski, Billy Jr.'s friend, and Gabby walked to the front. And the girl in the front is like, hey, what's up, baby? How you doing? So I was like, oh, I'm good. Thanks. So she's like, it's good to see you. What's up? So she's like, yeah, how many you with? So I was like, these four. She's like, okay, it's 20. But you know what? I'm going to do 15 for you. 20 each, but I'm going to do 15 for you. So I was like, I'm looking, she sees I'm confused, and she's like, it's not like Thursdays, baby. It's not a free party. This is a big party. So I could do 15, though, but I got to charge you.
How long were you going to let this just play out?
Now I'm having, for a second I was caught off guard, and I was like, let me run this. So she goes, yeah, it's not a free party. So I was like, no, they're with me. She goes, I'm sorry, I can't do it. She's like, tonight's a big night. We got,
Please don't. She started. Oh my gosh!
We got Tony Touch, Lumi D mixtape release party.
No.
And we got Cypher Sounds.
She said that you that she had you
yes.
to you.
Yes.
First of all, and she threw in the Lumi D mixtape part there too. Oh my!
I was like,
okay. Here's how we. Because now you're in the situation of like now I have to watch you feel awkward, and I have to and. That's the part I don't like. Did you still enjoy watching her squirm
yes.
while she told her?
Yes. I was looking. I was like, I'm Cypher Sounds.
And what'd she say?
She just jumped. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she like put her head in my hands like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, it's okay.
Yo, honestly.
Who the fuck did you think I was?
That's
what free parties on Thursday?
Yeah, exactly. I think you should have done what Joffrey would have done.
Joffrey.
Yeah, you should have like laughed about it for
Who's
a second. Joffrey. King Joffrey.
Oh, King Joffrey.
You should have.
Sorry.
No, you don't know Joffrey? Little Joffrey and them? Is when she bent over, like when she like put her head in your hand, she'd be like, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's fine. And as her head was down, signaled to someone, and they just come over and fucking chop her head off. All right. Anyways, that won't be a problem again.
But that was funny coming off the Juan app where we're like there for an hour later taking pictures. And then I go 1 hour later and fucking get
that
sunk.
That is the radio life. This is the life we lead. You know why I'm Saif, you know what very good news I had this week? I realized something.
Yes. What'd you realize?
That throughout the Amber Rose Wiz Khalifa drama that I was talking about on the radio, that I realized for all the dudes who hit me up and said I was a bitch who broke man code, which by the way, which I don't believe in, by the way.
Right.
But for all those people, from now on, when I go out with Amber Rose, instead of it just saying Amber Rose attends or Amber Rose and friend, it's now going to say Amber Rose and DJ Peter Rosenberg.
What do you mean? When you attend where?
Like if I go to a random event and we get a picture taken that ends up on one of the tabloids.
You got a lot of press for it?
Yeah, it was ever. I'm not the, you live in a different world now. We're in different worlds. Yeah. Bullshit. Like the mainstream, like Daily Mail, OK Magazine, all those kind of shitty.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. You know?
But what'd you do?
So you don't even know the story at all.
I heard something about Charlamagne saying you were a bitch for. Did you call out Wiz or something?
I didn't call out Wiz. I did. I did.
You chose sides.
That's funny. That's what the people at Atlantic said yesterday. Like, you chose sides. I guess. I mean, listen, that would be a no-brainer side choosing. One person's my friend and one person I like, but it's not my friend. It's not like a big deal. I like Wiz a lot, but Amber's my friend. So all I did was my goal when I went on the air was just to say that there are people saying basically there's a timeline that went out about the situation that wasn't true, that was making Amber look bad. There were a few things that people were spreading about Amber that weren't true.
Right.
And I don't know if it's from Wiz's camp or where it comes from, but my only goal was to.
Of camps.
People have camps.
Everybody has a camp now.
They have a team. They have a camp. Well, Amber has a camp, and guess who her camp is? Me.
You and the gay guy.
Me and Benji. Exactly right. So,
look at the window cleaners coming down the building.
Let me tell you, Bear would be barking up a storm right now if that happened. Bear does not fuck with a window cleaner. I'm so glad you told Gabby to open the window, and now look what we got. A shot of this guy's ass crack.
I don't know if Gabby is podcast ready.
To even be mentioned?
Yeah, let's go with,
Oh, what do we say? She doesn't deserve it, you mean, yet.
She's not ready for the onslaught.
People asking about who she is,
yeah, let's
her picture.
Go with, What do we call her?
Not Semra? Do they remember Semra? I don't even know if they remember Semra. I don't know how much we mentioned her.
We'll figure it out.
It's hard to keep track. It's hard to keep track. Speaking of camps, your camp is like a fucking a sleepaway camp.
Yeah, sleepaway
camp. It's like a sleepaway camp with 300 kids. Every summer there's a new session.
So yeah, go ahead.
Anyways, Amber Rose. So I went on the radio and basically just, all I did was connect the dots of things that were already out.
Did you said something about the fashion designer twins or something?
Are they fashion designer twins? They're twins.
They're twins.
I said that they're twins. I said Amber walked in and caught him in bed with twins.
And she told you that?
Can I not? I think it was assumed that that's where I got the information
did
from.
Did she tell you that? Were you? I don't know if she told you. Were you told that before all this happened or after?
Before what happened?
The drama came out, the divorce and all that.
It all happened simultaneously.
Because last time I saw her, you brought her to my improv show.
Mm-hmm.
And she did look kind of down. And then like a couple days later.
So that day, we were already hearing about how things weren't good.
Right.
That was like the theme of the night practically, was things are not good at all.
How fast did it go bad?
Then the next week is when the thing happened.
Dropped, yeah.
And then when the thing happened, within the...
Wait, what happened? The filing for the divorce or the twins?
Both. Back to back. One next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, imagine it like this. Shit was already bad, and you don't know where it's going to go, and you're worried it's not going to be good. And then you walk in on them
Right.
Cheating.
So that's kind of good.
Seemingly cheating. I don't know exactly what happened. You walk in on the situation. Right. You're just like, oh.
Wait, hold on. I can be in bed with twins. Listen, and not.
I wasn't.
Oh, hold up. This is the new shit? Some 2015 shit?
Who knows? I don't know. I wasn't there. All I know is that she did walk in on him with these chicks. So here's the thing. So the picture of the chicks was already out. And a story that said, Wiz is dating these twins. That was out there. Okay? She went on Twitter already and said, people saying I cheated is ridiculous. I wish my husband could say the same thing. She'd already said that he cheated.
Right.
So twins are out there. Cheating's out there. I simply pointed out that that's what happened. And I'd mentioned an Instagram picture because they're acting like everything just happened. That there was an Instagram picture, which obviously I didn't discover. Someone else did. Of them together like 14 weeks ago. So I was just like, I'm just putting out there. Because people were acting as if Amber and him have been broken up forever. And she was tripping for acting like he was cheating.
Right.
And I'm just saying, well, I was with the woman. She definitely seemed like they were still married. She's not a delusional like person. Like, I'm pretty sure they were still together. Now,
what did you get in trouble for?
I'm a bitch.
This is not worse than Chuck D, right? It's different.
No, it's not nearly as bad. It's actually funny. It's way bigger, way bigger a story.
You always get this good press, man.
Is it good?
All press is good.
I mean, I got yesterday the ambush I got at Atlantic Records when I walked in there, not realizing.
Fuck Atlantic Records.
I know. You know what I said, though? I said one line you'll fucking be proud of. So, because at first when I'm getting ambushed, I don't even know exactly what to do. And my boy Riggs was there, and even Riggs was jumping in nicely, but on their side, against me. Nicely, but was respectful, but was like, well, Peter, but, you know. But they went through one on, and I went, just do me a fucking favor, guys. The next time I fucking go ham for one of your artists, call me in and yell with this same emotion about how fucking good it is when I help you
out. Awesome. Awesome.
And to Julie Greenwald's credit, she was like, you know what? We should do that. I was like, well, I look forward to it.
And what the fuck do they care what you say? Like, did they yell at Wiz for putting them in the situation?
I know. That's what I'm saying. And I love Wiz.
What situation are they in?
And exactly.
It doesn't affect the music.
And by the way, it's not even negatively long-term going to affect Wiz. His character, he wasn't like Captain Wholesome. He's a weed-smoking cool dude.
Yeah, weed-smoking fucker.
Yeah, who cares? He's going to be fine. They're all going to be fine.
Wait, so what were the people saying about you?
You say
you're a bitch.
I'm a bitch. I'm a snitch. I broke man code. Mainly it's just that I'm a bitch.
Who guys were saying that?
Yes.
What were girls saying?
Oh, nothing. Only good. If anything, good. And nothing.
They don't even care.
Well, this is what I tried to say to my brother, because my brother's a little worried about it. He's like, it's weird. He was like, it's sort of a weird story. I don't really know what to think of it. It's kind of like weird. And I said,
fuck up.
Well, don't I'm say so happy brother. I'm outside. Why are you saying that? But I said to my brother, I go, listen, so wait, I should be upset that the kind of dudes who care that much about guy code are dissing me and women loved it? That's the direction I want to go.
Yeah. Who
fuck matter? Those dudes. If they feel that, I'm not that guy anyway. I'm not the man code guy. I don't feel more of a bond because we both have dicks. I think that's weird. Yo, you have a dick. I have a dick. Like, there's a rule. We kind of like, we're together. No, we're not.
I don't know you, man.
I don't know you or your dick.
I follow one person's rule, and that's me. Like, I put a little more extra into
it. No, that was, you turned it up a notch. I felt very confident. Hold on. Here's an email from Laura about our supposed guest. I felt very confident that in this business full of people who treat us like shit and don't ever give a shit about us. Hey, Laura, but we're on our way. It might be a few minutes late, like 12:15. It's 12:34. I felt very confident that Amber is one of the few people that if I needed her to do something for me, she would do it in a heartbeat. And there aren't many people I feel that way about. So what are you going to do? I talked. Shit. You know what? Sometimes you get on the radio and you say shit and it just happens. And you're out Shia. And then before you know it, being out Shia is a situation. I wanted to see how much generic shit I could say before Syph looked up from his phone. But I want to say, you must respect the guest we're supposed to have today is you don't have a laptop in here.
I was going to have it in here, but I was like,
It looks, I mean, now we don't even do a show together. Yeah, he supposedly was behind schedule. You know, I have a weird thing with my new system.
Music meeting that I won.
Do you have to go to that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I miss it a lot, and I can't miss it being in the building.
Shit.
I got to save those misses.
But what if it's can you get a delay, like a 115-er?
Maybe like a 115-er.
Is that a thing?
I'm trying to set up this video shoot for tomorrow.
For the new song? Is it for your new song?
No.
I like the Movement new song.
Oh, thanks.
It's a good song.
It's a very good song. Having trouble.
You think it can move? You think the song can move?
I think so.
It feels like it could. I have a hard thing in my life, which is when people express themselves on Israel and Palestine. I'm changing gears here, Saif.
I like it. Israel and Palestine.
When people talk about Israel and Palestine, I often agree with the sentiment of being I'm obviously very, I'm pro peace and very Palestinian sympathetic, and think what's happening in Gaza is disgusting, and I am not pro Israel, I'm just pro peace. So I feel that way. But then when people go too far the other way, it feels a little.
Well, when they go which way? Pro Israel, pro Palestine?
No, well, both. Pro Israel, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
So pro Israel, I'm used to. But it's like, I just think you're a fucking idiot when people are blind about that issue. But then when it goes the other way and it's non-Jews, like yesterday, this chick I know a little bit posted on Instagram Israel and somehow made the S a swastika.
Ooh.
In some way.
Cool.
And said and wrote creative. And wrote Israel is a Nazi state. I was like, I am upset with the things that they're doing. This approach, but like that, I get uncomfortable with that. I can't. It's weird because I just can't. Even though I want to, you can condemn Israel. No problem. Condemn away.
Yeah.
Condemn until you're blue in the face. But the swastika in Israel, I feel a way. Now I feel a way about it. Even
yeah,
though
I
you
feel a way.
Yeah, it feels a way. Hey, but anyone who's overly into that issue on either side, it just gets me super uncomfortable. I got to feed the leader, but you still recording. So you just walk in, you just interrupted the groove we're in?
That's what I do.
Hey, Juanito, will you check and see if our guest is here on your way out? Sure. Thanks. Dom, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
You want to say? Dom, you want to say?
Last night was great.
By the way, Dom treated last night's Juan Epstein much like he did my wedding. And by that, I mean he didn't come. Yo, you know what?
I wanted to.
Yo, you know I have big...
Well, then that's all that really matters.
No, it's not. Dom, I have like big industry friends who I didn't invite to my wedding. And like, you know, my relationship could have been better than it is because I invited them. And you canceled 48 hours?
But that's how you know it was something serious.
It was not serious.
It's not like you gave me the invitation like months in advance and I said, oh, I can't come. Something came up.
Oh, you were... Dom.
Did I get you a gift?
Yes, you did.
All right.
I like how you switched arguments very quickly. Yo, Dom, what'd you think of the O Canada falling down video?
Hey, hockey starts tonight.
It does?
Yeah. It's crazy. I thought it was going to start on the Saturday like every year. Leafs and Habs, Rangers and... Who do the Rangers play?
I don't know. Leafs, Habs tonight?
You guys play Philly.
Tonight?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's tonight. I know Montreal, Toronto's tonight.
Whoa.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Penguins... play Flyers.
Saif, have you watched the O Canada video I'm talking about?
No, you got to see this.
You want to pull it up?
I got it here.
Nah.
No, Saif.
Saif.
Promise.
Nah. Did you ever see the one of that girl who came out to sing the U.S. national anthem, forgets the lyrics?
Yes.
Walks back. Yeah.
Oh, no, Saif. It's why are you? Don't shake your head. This isn't like a gross video. It's not a fight video.
Not interested.
Why are you not interested?
It's hockey.
Yeah.
It's not about playing hockey. And it's about Canada. It's O Canada. You don't have any amusement in the Canadian national anthem in general? Like, there's no potential amusement there?
Not really.
Will you do it for us? Will you check it out and see what you think?
Sure. I know I have no interest in this, though.
It's fine that you're on your phone, but you can't be far away from the mic and on the phone. We can't even hear you.
Juan Epstein, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell you the truth about what happened. See, my man and them...
And then here come the comments. Rosenberg, fix your fucking audio. I'm like, I can only do so much to get people to stay on mic. By the way, did you see all the love and praise for the fine Jermaine Dupri one, Epstein?
No, I don't look at comments.
On Twitter? You don't get tweets about it? Don't people tweet you about one app?
Yeah, I haven't been on Twitter lately.
Good for you.
I'm fucking up.
No, you're not.
Good.
No, get off. Let the nameless assistant do it. Let the
assistant.
What is she?
I don't know. She's weird. She's a...
She just walked
She's
out.
She's a liaison.
She's a liaison?
No, that's not the right word. She's a... I don't know.
I don't understand. Why isn't she just an assistant?
Sh- She's like an intern of Jace.
Thank you. He got it. That's the first time. Dom, it's his first. It's his first. Intern of Jace? She's more like an assistant of Jace, it sounds like. She's almost an assistant, no?
Yeah, but she's not going to stay an assistant. She's growing to other things.
Like, quickly, you want her to... You have bigger plans for her.
Yeah.
Why?
Bigger plans for herself.
Oh, she came into it thinking, I want to do... I have specific goals.
What I like to do is I like to get people around me that want to help and make them do the shit work. And as they're doing shit work, I converse with them and see what they like and what they don't like. And then I lead them down that path of things that they want to do and try to give them proper lessons for that field of work. Like Semra wanted to do video production or something to do with TV and video. So I would... She would help me out with other stuff, but I would focus more on that stuff.
Zach's like Bounty Killer. He busts.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Woo. Tom, get out of that seat right now, you son of a bitch. Come on in. Oh, my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Quick is here.
What's up, my brother?
How you doing, fam?
What's good? Good.
Pleasure.
How you doing?
To meet you.
Have a seat, man.
I like
what's
it.
What's up, Rich?
He looked at me, said, I think I know that guy.
What up, Rich?
I said, what's up, brother? He looked at me, said, I think I know him. Oh, yeah. And then smiled.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was like a 6 second. I know this guy.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but DJ Quick is from Compton. Yeah. So when he walked in, he surveyed the scene.
He's
first.
He's wearing a Compton hat.
He hasn't aged a day. Are you 27 years old?
No, you know, I'm over 40.
Over 40? By the way, I have to tell you.
Up there.
I have to tell you this early because our listeners will always complain. Just make sure you stay right up on the mic.
Right on.
Yeah, because we always end up way louder than
Let
our
Let me tell
guests.
You something about DJ Quick.
Well, say something about DJ Quick.
He is a... And I mean this in a technical way, a sound master.
Thank you, bro.
So he understands he needs to stay close to the mic.
Hell yeah, you of
all people.
He's not
one of these fucking loose, dopey fucking rappers. He's going to be right on it. He understands sonically how to transfer his vocal performance into an electronic receiver.
Thank you, Seth. Now, quick. First of all, it's an honor to have you here.
Y'all want to sit? There's chairs in there if y'all want to sit. Yeah.
Yeah, you can post in that room, and the audio's on in there. Yeah.
Abby, can you open the door for them so they can sit in there?
Yo, and Sife's assistant of Jace is in there, and she's pretty cute, so have fun.
Yeah, leave her alone.
I didn't mean, like, do something sexually to her. So, quick, first of all, honor to have you here.
Thanks, boss.
This is one of those bonuses that when it came down the line that I heard you were coming to do press, I was, like, pretty excited about it because I've never been in the same room as DJ Quick.
No?
Never. Never even seen DJ Quick in person. No, I don't think so. You never did Rock the Bells, did you? You did Rock
yeah,
the Bells?
I did Rock the Bells okay. 2 years ago.
So I saw him on a stage from like 10,000 feet away, but I wasn't hosting that stage. And I remember I had a real regret about that, which was they were selling a dope DJ Quick shirt that I didn't get. No, don't thank me. I'm an asshole.
Why did you get it?
I don't know. I'd like spent a lot of money. I was being a fucking cheap Jew bastard that I am. Oh. I know it's the worst. But quick, so we'll get to the new stuff that you're putting out that you have going on, but let's start with the origins. Sife was saying, like, I have pretty good knowledge of DJ Quick. My brother's a huge Quick fan.
He's a gangster.
Who?
No, he's not.
No, I'm not.
Well done. How did it start? How did the music thing start for DJ Quick?
You mean the beginning?
The beginning.
Yeah, begin. We like to go to the...
We like to start
to
at the tippy
essence,
top.
To the core.
Well, once upon a time... No, I'm joking. I was DJing, like, as a kid. I was always into records, so... I was playing my mom's name records at 1, 2 years old, even before I could talk. And, you know, it just kind of grew from there. Like, every time my mom's would buy a record, I wanted to play it. So I, you know, just figured it out. And I remember buying Michael Jackson's Thriller. That was the first time I ever scratched. When I heard Billie Jean, I just kept rubbing the record back, turning the volume down on those old Capone sets. And I knew I wanted turntables after that. So,
at that point, it was just the one turntable, but you were just bringing it back.
A component set. You know.
Yeah, that's how I learned.
Right?
Yeah, just the top
volume knob.
On a belt drive, the worst.
Before that.
Was it belt drive? Yeah,
it was
belts
drive.
First.
I guess it was belt drive, but it was part of a, it was a, ta- it was like the top.
It was one of, those are the, those are a nightmare. You have to like fight to get those to go back.
Exactly.
So where'd the name Quick come from?
Just DJing. I wanted one of them cool names. You know, everybody back then was a mix master. Or, you know, cut creator or whatever. I just wanted to be DJ Quick Mix. And Quick Mix was too long, so I dropped the mix.
Who was popping when you were a kid in the mid-80s? Who were the were there, besides the East Coast cats that I'm sure you were aware of, who were the West Coast DJs that you were emulating?
Mixmaster Spade, DJ Ken, DJ Star, Joe Cooley was the illest out of everybody.
Well, good. That's the only name I've known so far, so I feel better.
Mark Walker, DJ Aladdin. You know, these are people you wanted to be like.
And were you going to, where do you go to?
And Egyptian Lover was a bad
Egyptian Lover, too. Do you start hitting clubs as a teenager?
Yeah. After I moved from Compton to L.A., started going.
When did you move from Compton?
Like 1987.
How old were you?
16.
Did you eventually go back to Compton or no?
Not move back, no. But I would go and kick it with like the homies or whatever.
What is it about Compton?
I don't know.
That shapes you that much, that from 16 on, you're wearing the Compton hat now. Man, everything
is it's like Brooklyn.
It is like
the
Brooklyn.
Pride of it.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's like if you make it through Compton, if you live to be 25, then you can rep. It's almost like a rite of passage. You know what I mean? Just to be able to survive that place. Because the tension was thick. Not so much now, but back then it was.
Did you?
It's not sweet now, though.
No, it ain't sweet at all.
Can't just.
I mean, I wouldn't go there for brunch.
No, bro. It's still.
But it's not like it was in the 80s.
Yeah, it was. It was a little dangerous in the 80s.
Were you? Did you stay away from the bullshit? Did you just bury yourself in the music?
Yeah, we had to. Well, I mean, that's
bullshit.
Oh, sorry. You know the drama. You know, the drama.
The drama. Yeah, yeah. It was what it was. Sometimes though, when you stayed away from it. You know, the niggas had a way to bring that shit to you. It's like, oh, no, you ain't immune. We're going to fuck with you, too. Like, it was kind of wild out there.
So how did you go from DJ Quick the DJ to DJ Quick the artist? Like, were you popping as a DJ first?
I wouldn't say popping. I was DJing, like, school dances or whatever, little neighborhood dances. But I got into, like, Casio keyboards and just trying to write out little bass lines or whatever. It was campy. It wasn't dope at all. And then I joined this group, like at I think I was 18, and joined this little musical group. And I just kind of learned, you know, from this dude named Tony Harris. Learned from him, like, you know, arrangement, because he used to produce and record, multi-track record. So I learned how to multi-track from him. I got a Tascam 4-track and just started, like, you know, putting beats down and playing a bass line to it and bounce it when you run out of tracks and open up tracks for vocals. So early on, I was engineering and recording.
I have to pull up, by the way, my DJ Quick discography from Wikipedia.
Okay.
Because it's
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Jump in, Sife.
DJ Quick has many credits that are not listed.
Yeah,
they're not on the discography.
I did some ghost stuff, like, you know.
Remember last time I spoke to you? You said he doesn't like when things don't sound right, so he'll step in and start engineering it and fixing it. He doesn't get credit for that.
No, you don't.
Those this needs to sound better.
Exactly.
Make this shit pop.
Sometimes it ain't about my name. It's about the betterment of music. That's all I've been about. You know,
it's good.
Make shit sound hot.
But that is sort of always what you're. Were you known for that before you were known as a producer?
No, not really. Because I came in, you know, green. I had engineers then, like, you know, Courtney and Tracy. Total Track was my production company, and they pretty much mixed the records. And I set in and I did like my little things. I turned a knob here or there. Then the very next year, I was engineering myself. So, you know, it came a little later. I'd already put out my first album and had some success, went platinum with it, and just started doing everything else. I started producing other people, and I learned as I went, you know.
The first album was 91 or 90?
1991.
And in that same year, you also did Second to None.
Second to None's album, Penthouse Players Clique's album. And
Penthouse Players Clique was in 91 also?
Yeah, it came out in 92, but I started on it in 91 as soon as I got off tour. And AMG.
And AMG shit. I see that. Off Bitch Better Have My Money.
Yeah.
High C.
Yeah. Did a couple songs on there.
At that point, when you put out the first album.
What's the first album called again?
Quick is the name.
Oh, yeah.
How much were you, I don't want to use the word popping again, but how much were people aware of in L.A.?
They knew me from my underground tapes, because I used to put out little mixtapes. Back then, they was called mixtapes. My mixtapes started to travel. They started to go, like, Utah, you know, Salt Lake City, Texas. People was calling, like,
But you, just popping out. You were rhyming on them?
Mm-hmm.
And original beats, or you were doing like...
Yeah, I was doing original beats and rhyming.
You're just putting
unpublished,
them out.
Unpublished, uncopyrighted, yeah. Just...
Putting them out.
Mix them with like whatever.
No, did any of those songs get on the albums?
Yeah. Most of Quick Is the Name was a mixtape at first.
Really?
Yeah.
Like any of the big ones, like Tonight?
Sweet Black Pussy, all that shit.
Tonight is, that's a good song.
Are those the biggest ones? Tonight, Born and Raised in Compton?
Yeah, you know, everybody's first album is always the biggest. So, unless you, you know, with the exception of like an Eminem.
Not Fugees.
Not Fugees, right? Syfe. That's exactly right.
Right. Their first album was Clock.
Tribe, too. I'd say Low In Theory.
No, their first album's hot.
So it's hot, very hot, of course.
Not the biggest.
It was not the biggest.
Fuji, you ever heard Fuji's first album?
Of course I have. Mm. I think my friend... I don't want to tell you what my best friend traded that album for. Like, it was, I don't know why we were trading things at that age, like 18 years old, but he traded it for something. I think he traded it for some CD single. Just like, take it. I just don't want to have
it. That's how bad it was?
Fuji's first album?
Yeah.
The only thing that was good about it was the remixes. None of it was on the album. Yeah, every version you liked, you're like, oh, Nappy Heads. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Not the right version.
Vocab, not the right version. None of them were the right version.
Wow. They were the 12-inch sing. They wanted the remixes on the singles.
Yeah, and then they put out a remix version of the album.
Who'd have thought?
Just Like Compton was pretty big off the next album, though.
Yeah, second album. And that was, I guess, you know, we run around the world and learn.
First album quick?
Yeah.
He jumped right after it.
Still rings off, yo.
Hold on. So what did Penthouse Players Click? Yeah. Can explain that for the people who don't know. So if you remember Penthouse Players Click?
That was my group. It was a hip-hop group.
Yes.
Got signed to Ruthless Records.
So how did that come to be?
Eazy got wind of me. You know what I mean? Eazy-E was already super popping. He had 2-3 years in it, maybe even 4. So when he heard I was from Compton. You heard the record, you know, you couldn't escape it at that point. Profile was a huge label, so I was everywhere. And, you know, Eazy came to meet me, and we just hit it off. He's cool, and he was like, you know, what else you got? It's like, well, I got my OG group that I was, you know, original group I was with. He met him and signed him up.
Were they called that, though, before, or did you change the name?
They was always the Penthouse Players Clique.
And you were always producer?
Member, yeah, I was a member, producer, writer.
Who were the other members?
Tweed Cadillac, Player Ham.
And was it successful? Like it was pretty underground. Like,
yeah,
like
underground.
If I reference Penthouse Players Click, you bet only fucking hip hop heads, you know, at least on the East Coast know. So I'm curious. Yeah. So did they?
Yeah, I think they did like maybe 200,000-300,000 units. You know, which was
which
big.
By the way, which is now would
huge.
Make you
like, oh, that's huge.
It'd be like Billy Joel now. Like that's 200,000-300,000 copies. It's
back
insane.
Then, it's like nah. You know, you had to go gold and platinum, but you know, it was like I guess it was an acquired taste. Some people liked it, some people didn't. But it was underground, like you said.
How much were you getting paid in the early days for the outside production?
Early on,
like when you
the price was 10 to get in, as we used to say. So it was 10 grand. You know, if I sampled something and they had to pay for the sample, and I got 10 as a fee, and then maybe another $2,000 to mix, engineer, and mix the record.
And what about a situation like Second to None where you do so many joints? Or are those the homies? Is it like-
No, homies, nothing. Notwithstanding, this is about music and my money. Pay me. No, it was, I think I got like maybe 30, 40 grand or whatever.
Flat.
Yeah, flat. It was like a flat thing. They got
Profile Records.
They got 125 grand. They got the same deal I got. We both got like 125 grand.
Here you go, Syfe. This is our,
right on.
This is our high-end sound system. It sounds good on the podcast.
What is that, Bose?
Yeah, it's Bose.
Could come out today.
Well, we'll get to that.
Put Drake on this.
Yo.
But no, yeah, it was a labor of love.
Mean, we'll
like,
get to that. That's what you're saying.
His influence on today.
Yeah.
I mean, his influence today.
This is definitely
coming full circle now. Like, you just have.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yo, a day in the life of a player named Quick. I'm just a stubborn kind of fella with a head like a brick. And just because I drink the A, they say that I'm hopeless. But I
got a missed call from your bitch.
Exactly.
Fits perfectly.
Yo,
YG?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mustard really was saying. Mustard always credits you as being one of his main influences.
Yeah, man, Mustard. I've mixed a couple of records with him. I mixed My Hitter.
Really?
Which actually went platinum.
You mixed that?
Credit? Credit for it or no?
No, you know, they don't give credit no more.
That record does sound different than all the records. Yeah.
What I did was
that,
you know,
shit does
they go straight
crack
they go,
a little
they
more.
Go straight Pro Tools.
Yeah.
And they don't have that thing. So
right.
What I did
they
was
don't
I
even know.
It, I put it on tape.
You did put it on tape.
And it just jumped. It just jumped.
I love this dude, yo. That record definitely sounds different than any other Mustard record. I'm not the tempo. Obviously, it's a little slower than his normal shit.
But it
sounds like the old West Coast records. The way they used to come on in the club and the way it's mixed is just like fucking comes through the fucking speakers.
Thank you, bro.
Sky, man, he's good. Sky,
now, you did. Yo, did you ever do? I'm looking at the credits. The credit list goes on. You know, Cam.
Yeah.
Danny Boy off Murder Was the Case. Above the Rim. Seconds and None. Did you ever produce any East Coast joints?
Who did I work with on the East? That's a damn good question. There was some things I did. I tried to work with, like, y'all remember King Son?
Of course.
I tried to work with King Son. Ultimately, that came later. Like, I ended up with, like, Talib Kweli. He popped.
Oh, yeah. He I remember that.
Popping, and I had a radio show out in L.A., so I played The Blast on L.A. radio, and it popped. So he, you know, we got in touch, and we went in the studio and started working. Then Pharoah Monch, and, you know.
It came along later on.
Yeah. At that time, I was getting, like, 50, 60 grand a track.
Goddamn right.
Shit.
It's just interesting to me because you're this.
It's over.
50 and 60.
Done, yep.
What'd you get for that? Let's talk about Let's Get Down.
Yeah.
That's it. That
single.
Ooh.
Syfe.
Good record.
I got the 45. Don't worry about it. It exists on 45. That shit is amazing.
Thanks, bro.
And it's really cool, too, because it's clearly a Tony record, but when you play, if you were to play that beat right now, it's a quick record. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Did they come to you and wanted signature?
Who came? Was it Tony?
I wanted to
Tony
work with, or Tony? Huh?
I knew you were gonna.
Oh wow! No, it was I wanted to work with them because basically the Sons of Soul album, I was just sold on it. Like they sound like they was doing retro when it wasn't cool. Like when everybody else was trying to go forward.
For real.
These dudes was going back with these big sounds, and it was still timely. So I became a fan, and I ended up meeting met Dwayne, and then I met Raphael. And I was like, dude, I want to work with y'all, like whatever. So ended up working with him in like 94, like a year after I met him. And I did all the production of the track and whatnot, sent it to Raphael. Raphael took it, took the tapes, and when did his thing, sent it back to me. And I built on it. I played percussion. I had this dude named Carl Small. He was like the in-house Death Row percussion player, like on all the soundtrack stuff. And Dr. Dre wouldn't let him. He played on my Dollars and Cents record. And Dre was like, you can't play on nobody else's stuff. So I was like, dude, I need you on this Tony record. He was like, man, Dre said I can't come through, but hey, peace. I'm like, dude, what do you mean? I got your $250. Like, come, dude. So he said no. I was like, fuck that.
Dre said I can't come.
Dre was a tyrant. So I was like, I'm all grumpy, dog, man. I went to the music store. Give me that. I want some congas. I want the triangle. I just bought all this shit, went home, and just started walking around practicing this shit myself. Like 3-4 days later, I went in the studio and played all that shit myself.
What?
Why not? I mean, you know, this motherfucker didn't want to play, so shit. You know, got to get that sound.
Dre said I can't come out and play.
Yeah, exactly.
Dre had that shit on smash.
Dre put me on punishment. Dre know he was mean. I talked to him about that. He laughed.
Yeah, of course. He had his sound, his style.
Exactly.
How was your relationship with Suge and Death Row?
Shook was cool, man. I mean, you know,
Road manage Second to None?
Yeah, he tried. He managed. He managed me too at one point.
Yeah,
and Shook was.
You're good. No, you did. He said it last night. He did.
Shook was cool, but for some reason, niggas just tried to test him. Like everybody was testing him. Like, you know, he can't be that tough. Like motherfuckers would really go for it.
Yeah.
And then he would just beat the dog shit out of him. Like I watched him literally fuck motherfuckers up. But it was something they did. They borrow money from him, don't give it back, then talk shit about him in the streets, and he know people in the streets.
Well, I gotta be honest. Even from my perspective, that is a reasonable reason to beat the dog shit out of him.
Somebody has, exactly. So it wasn't like he was just running around, throwing his weight around, trying to beat up on everybody. It was people legitimately just trying to, you know, fuck the man over.
Yo,
yeah, there's something that happens mentally slightly when you beat the shit out of 8 people in a row, and then someone says something to you, and you just give them that look like,
exactly.
I'm certified.
You already know.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Not funny. I'm glad Suge's okay because Suge had that situation recently where he got shot.
Yeah.
And it was, before that, he'd had all these situations where it looked like people were starting to like question Suge Knight.
Yeah.
And then he ends up in this crazy shooting at a club, gets shot 6 times, and walks out of the fucking club. No, I was like, Suge's back. Don't question that man.
So that's how you rate it? That's how you say
I looked at the
bullets?
I was like, listen.
Qualifies him for being
toughness? Back. I meant toughness. I meant you can't question Suge's toughness.
When dude pulled a gun on him, he stood up and was like.
That's what.
What, the last time?
Yeah.
The one that you're talking about?
He stood up, like, dude opened fire on him. You know.
What?
He did do this video of him, like, still outside the club, just like, all right, he's got the hospital now. Like, so I'm not listening. Jeez. Y'all can start sleeping on Suge Knight. I'm good on them.
Yeah, so, right. that but you was down with Death Row? Like,
yeah, I was engineer. Like, I was engineering all that shit.
But this is after you're already DJ Quick, yeah. The producer. And you're just an in-house engineer?
Yeah, you know, Profile Records. I was signed to Profile, you know, big New York label. And they had this way of not paying you by putting you on suspension. Like, when I start asking for my royalties,
right.
I'm being a disagreeable artist. It's like, can y'all pay me for the last record?
Yeah.
You know, it's just... Where's these royalties I was promised? This back end.
Yeah.
Yeah, the back end. That's where I got it. I got it in the back end. But they put me on suspension, so I was like, man, I'm finna go work. I just started working over there with Dre and
I like shit. That's dope. Just fucking, you're not gonna let nobody fucking dictate your life.
No.
You just went over there and just, all right, I know how to do this. I'll do this.
Yeah. So, kept it pushing.
Second.
You engineered, like, I think I told you this last night, like, just parts of the Chronic and all that shit.
I didn't do any of the Chronic.
Chronic 2?
I did.
No, that wasn't Death Row.
No.
Or was Death Row? Was Death Row? No, it wasn't Death Row.
No. Interscope. That was in Aftermath.
Aftermath, Interscope.
But, like, you know, the
Dog Pound album.
Dog Pound album.
That's what it was.
Your favorite.
That's why.
Dog Food.
That's why my hitters sounds like a fucking Dog Pound record.
Wow, you put that shit together.
Yeah. Well, this guy, he is the biggest mark for the Dog Pound album. He loves.
This is the man right here.
I know.
Appreciate it.
You don't know.
No, that's I know.
Oh, shit. I got a little music.
No, chill out, Syph. They're going to have to be on hold for a minute. It's only one or two.
But no, I engineered the Tupac album, too, All Eyes on Me.
All of it?
I mixed, like, pretty much almost the whole first CD outside of California Love and How Do You Want It.
Did you do the... Was the Red Meth one on that CD or on the second CD?
Yeah, it was on that one. I mixed that record, too.
That record.
But you said How Do You Want It?
Yeah, I did.
How
do
you
that.
Want it?
Johnny J did that.
He didn't do... He didn't
which
do,
one did you say? You said...
He didn't do everything but...
Like California
Ambitions
Love
of a Rider. That's the one I didn't do. That was Dre.
Oh, those are the ones you didn't do.
Yeah.
Oh, if you did Ambitions of a Rider.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you,
bing,
boss.
Bing, bing, bing.
Right.
And no.
Who was that Jamaican guy to work with?
Who?
The weed dealer that was on all the Death Row records.
I don't.
Was he a cool guy?
I don't remember him for some reason. I don't think I smoked that much weed, or I was getting my weed.
Who are you referring to?
Else.
The Jamaican guy that Snoop told us he was the weed dealer on all the Death Row records.
What are you doing?
The guy that talks.
I think he passed
on
away.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had a car accident.
He wants everything every concurrent.
Yeah.
That guy.
Dang, what was his name, bro? He died in a
He was
car
a weed dealer, right?
Yeah, that's he died what Snoop in a car told accident.
Us. And he'd be like, "Yo, come here, talk that Jamaican shit,
that shit, talk that shit."
Wow.
But it's funny that you mentioned from the Pac album. The Red Meth joint. Why am I forgetting the name?
I forgot the name too.
Boom, boom. It's the shit.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
But the mix is so smooth on that song. That mix is fucking amazing.
What is the name of that record?
Bascombi, what's up?
I forgot the name of that record.
What the fuck?
How do you...
No.
No, real. It's a generic title.
Yeah, it didn't even go with the record.
Yeah,
that's why I don't
It's
remember.
Not the hook.
It's not. It's definitely not. It doesn't go with it. I'm going to find it right now. Do you now have a decent relationship with MC8?
Yeah.
Y'all good at this point?
We're cordial, bro.
Cordial?
I saw him at, I see him often. We perform together sometimes.
So it's a cordial, friendly relationship?
I mean, he's cool. Like, you know, we grown now. He's got kids.
By the way, I was listening earlier. So people who don't know, got my mind made up. And they do say it on the
yeah,
song.
Yeah, exactly. I got my mind made up. Come on, you can get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they barely say it. They don't say it right.
Not.
They say like once or twice.
Syph has a big issue with people making songs where the title of the song isn't said enough in the song.
Right.
He thinks it's fucking stupid.
It
Great
is.
Example is Drake Headlines.
Drake. Oh, a lot of Drake.
A lot of Drake. Like, he just doesn't say the shit. So then when people try to request the song... They don't remember what they're saying.
Right.
It is confusing. It's worked out for Drake, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be all
but
right.
It would be so much better.
I know. Who knows what it could be?
Drake would be bigger if he just named the songs what the hook is.
I know. It's so much easier. So how did the... Why did things initially get shitty with 8?
Wow. I mean, we... I spoke on him on a mixtape, and they took it all the wrong way. One of my mixtape songs, I mentioned, like, N.W.A., him, and I'm like, you know, because I was, like, obscure. Like, nobody knew who I was. So I'm mentioning all these my favorites, and I acknowledged him as a favorite, and he took it as a diss, you know. And it was like, dude, so I would talk to him, like, you know, seen him a couple of times, like, dude, I didn't diss you, man. It's respect. It's respect. You know, we coming up, too. Like, you know, we from the Blood Car, y'all from the Crip Car. It's cool. We just, you know, want to make money. Y'all on the major label already, you know. Y'all, we look up to y'all. But he didn't see it like that, and he kept dissing me on these records. And I was,
I went and listened to it, and I was like, there's no diss here.
Yeah, no, I didn't diss him at all. I'm not an N.W.A. I ain't gay, and I'm on my way to the top of the tree for CMW to see. Yeah, it's me, like, you know, mentioning everybody or whatnot. And he took that, like, wrong. It was, to me, it was respect. If you mention somebody back then and you ain't like, fuck these niggas, then it is what it is.
Well, but you made time to do that later on.
Well,
they went there.
Yeah, I did, man. You know, because I'm hearing his records. Somebody said, did you hear this new CMW record? And I listen, it's like, you know, DJ Quick, you make, you know, DJ Quick in a khaki bikini, and, you know, the hollow points go straight through your bird chest. I was like, dude, where is this coming from? Like, dude, truce, like, for real. And he kept going. Then I talked to him, I met him, and in the airport. We, you know, we shake hands, I take his number, I'm gonna call him. I'm like, you know, because the Source magazine was, you know, back then they used to just pit motherfuckers against mm-hmm. each other. So I'm like, we should do a record together and just fuck the Source magazine up, like, you know, diffuse this shit. He's like, cool. Called him, his number was changed, then he puts out this new record like 2 months later, tearing my ass up again. I'm like, damn, I felt like a sucker. You know what I mean? Like, damn.
Damn, I thought we were about to work together.
Yeah.
But in the airport, it was all good?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Then after, it was strange. And then the record, he must have already knew he had the record come out and he was going to diss me. So he just played me and bounced like it was cool. And then the record comes out, I'm dissed again. So I went crazy.
Then you went hard on the next one.
I went and did Dollars and Cents. Because I had shot at him a couple of times, like, dude, you know, this record, I forgot, on Safe and Sound or whatever. I did this little lightweight diss record. I'm going to let you have it or whatever. But I kind of let it all hang. I think I went a little too hard. Like, I had homophobic lyrics talking about if I, you know, you're going to be the first nigga to suck my dick. I was just pure angry. Motherfuckers was like, dude, that's gay, man. It's like, no, that's how you got to demasculate a motherfucker. Like, you know, I put my dick in your mouth. I think.
And then you're like, oh, well.
Yeah, okay.
I guess it sounds a little weird.
Yeah, it didn't.
No, where's the one when you went fucking ham? You said some shit. Blah, blah, blah. Was it on one of your outros? Shit on the in the ad lib. You just went fucking ham. Uh-huh. Hamburger. You didn't leave anything.
I don't even remember.
And we're flipping it just like this. Motherfucking real G's out there, huh? Come with the real shit. 187.4 FM on your dad. To the TikTok,
yeah, don't stop. You ain't hear this? Well, fuck off then, quick.
You had enough. Fuck that bullshit. No, yo,
my
but
talk box would have been a lot clearer.
Yeah, it's like, don't be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Roger taught me that shit. Actually, Roger taught me.
Hold on.
I was present for all those records. Damn. Turn the knob here, turn the knob here.
Hold on, let's stop real quick, because he just quickly said that Roger Troutman taught him how to use the talk box.
Yeah, you want to get into that?
Let's hear about that a little bit.
Shit, he came through. I met him in 92. We were on tour together in Las Vegas, and he came in the dressing room. He came in my hotel room playing his guitar, and this motherfucker he fucked me up. He was playing, talking to me about what I used on what I sampled from him. And he was playing 2001 Space Odyssey on guitar. I'm like, this motherfucker was bad. I mean, wow. For real, like, best guitarist I've ever seen. Like, so what did you use on my album? I'm like, dude, this is too much. Like, you're fucking my head up. Then he came to Death Row because we did California Love. Dre was doing California Love. Dre called me and was like, listen to this. And Roger's doing the hook. And I'm like, oh, this shit's amazing. So then I started, you know, hooked up with Roger. We was, like, working on little stuff. And he was telling me, you know, he was just showing me what to do, articulation, how to, you know, how to pronounce the shit and what sounds to use. And then I ended up doing a record for, like, Shaquille O'Neal, and I nailed it. And he heard it. He was driving into town in the limo, heard it on the radio, met me at the studio and was like, yeah, Quick is out of everybody, out of his own mouth. He was like, you know, Teddy Riley was doing it, Devontae Swing was doing it, and, like, a couple of other people. He was like, Quick, quick guy.
It was the same machine that he used?
No, he used, he made his own machine.
Yeah, they,
he broke a speaker down and wired it and drilled a hole. It was crazy. Like, he's a genius, dude. Built his own talk box. And I just went and bought, like, this Electro Voice.
But you made it sound like the way he made it sound.
You had to get the little thin holes. If you had the thick holes, it was just like, you know, you couldn't even form the words. If you got a smaller hose, then you could still keep your, you know, you could enunciate.
You have to put it in your mouth?
Unfortunately, that doesn't sound right. But yeah.
You do.
You put it like, it replaces the, it replaces your voice. That's how it works. So that's you don't crazy. Talk. You just move your mouth and the sound comes through. It's like your voice, you know, but a synthesizer.
That's
cool trick, man. That's some genius shit. I think Stevie Wonder was like the first to use it.
Yeah, and I was on Howard this week. He had
Herbie Hancock too.
I think Joe Perry was on Howard Stern this week.
Yeah, I saw him on. He must have got a book.
He has something on. All right,
so he's on the circuit.
From Aerosmith,
guitarist from Aerosmith.
Oh,
and he was talking about. I think it was Joe Perry talking about using the talk box, and came back to Roger Troutman and blah blah blah. But that's super. That's fucking crazy. I want to get to use one. That sounds really cool. That'd be a fun effect for the radio.
I don't know if it
I got a little Korg keyboard that has a little mic thing.
Safe.
Cool to fuck around with.
Not the same.
It's not the same.
It's just not the same. By the way, so
I shouldn't have spoken.
No, you really shouldn't have. You then ended the beef with or the feud with 8 with one of the illest lines of all time.
What is it?
I know why there's no the reason there's no there's no G in your name, because there's no G in you at all. And then
I just picked his name apart. I was like, you know, if you attack, you attack. And
an 8. There is a G in 8. No, he doesn't spell it with a G.
There's no G in you at all. That's a crazy line.
I was thinking too hard. I had too much time.
No, that's pretty good. You could have been a pro wrestler. That's an amazing fucking line.
Thanks, bro.
By the way, MC8 is another person who does not age. Last time I saw him, at least, it was a while ago at this point, but he still looked very young. There's something in the water in Los Angeles.
Let me tell you something, man. I understand you come from the hood of Los Angeles. You from Compton.
You're talking to me real quick.
Quick.
Okay.
And shit, or anybody from out there. Shit's fucked up. I understand that. But it's fucked up in the sun. And your skin is nice. You know what I'm saying?
You got a nice bronze.
New York, like, we're fucking gloomy. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how fucked up it is out there, it's still nice. It's nice outside.
You know what
outside.
I don't know yet, Saif? There's the funny part. In spending a lot of time in L.A., fortunately, I'm going to go ahead and say fortunately, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, I don't run into the old, depressing hood dudes who were formerly involved with someone.
It's different out there.
I don't know. Like, in New York, I see those guys out all the time. Mm-hmm. The dudes who used to run with someone, 25, nice guys, but I've seen that the years sometimes don't do them well. Yeah. I don't know that crowd in L.A.
Yeah, they're not. It's more spread out there. But listen, my man, I hope nobody's taking this the wrong way. I'm not testing nobody.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that.
I know what it is. I'm just saying.
It's sunny.
While you're killing someone, it's nice out.
Yeah. It's nice out.
You can die on a beautiful day out there. It's real.
I met one dude, the dude that came a corrupt to my improv show. Oh, I was trying to get you for my improv show.
Really?
Steve LaBelle was hitting you when I was in L.A., remember?
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
And he was going to do it, but you went out of town that day.
Yeah, I've been touring and shit.
So you got to do it next time I go to L.A.
Whatever.
But Corrupt came, and his dude came like 2 hours early. And I was and I happened to be there early. And he was like, yo, I'm looking for so-and-so. I was like, oh, that's me. He's like, yeah, I need to check this shit out. I was like, what do you mean? Oh, I see what you mean. I don't think this is that type of spot.
He's like, it doesn't matter.
Fuck, I got to check this shit out. I was like, all right, they have a show going on right now, but... You could go through.
I just love picturing the nerds who are at UCB.
He just walked through and was like looking on the shelves. Like, this is like the Secret Service.
And you don't understand. And when you see how nerdy the shit is,
yeah.
It's literally the least threatening place you could ever investigate.
I respected it.
No, you had to do your job.
Back door, this is over here. This is the back room, the green room.
Do you.
He's been through a lot.
Yeah, he's seen some shit. You keep it pretty low key. I mean, have you always? Where do you live these days? Are you what's your situation like?
I live in the valley, you know,
valley life.
That's where you move to when you know, move to the valley where you can kind of go to the liquor store and house shoes, and it's not like being on like 42nd and you know Central, going to liquor store and house shoes. It's a little more laid back.
What record made you the most
money?
Yes. I was going to say comfortable.
Well, you sure?
Believe it or not, my independent record, Trauma.
Really?
Yeah. Out of all of them. Like in publishing and hard sales.
How many did you sell of that?
Just like 100,000 units.
But it was all yours?
Like, yeah. Like $1 million. Back then. Not today.
So what are you doing right now?
I'm about to release a new album on Tuesday. It's just like an ode to classic music, tape-based, old-school hip-hop. And,
what do you mean tape-based?
You know, analog. It's analog.
Recorded it analog.
Yeah. The hard way.
Good.
The expensive way.
I respect. I just went to a studio and they had a...
Tape machine?
Yeah. And I said...
Antiquated.
I said, give me this session for free if I fucking can align your tape machine. And they're like, you know what align a tape machine means? Session was free anyway. I was just showing them. I know what the fuck I was doing.
You were just trying to show off.
Remember this? Did you know this was quick? I can be a little picky. Blame the sticky icky. Pick a bottle, get a glass.
Down the sippy sippy. I see you, baby. Keep bouncing. I love the sound system, by the way.
It's really, no, that's what we do.
Why stereo?
That's literally all that.
Sounds good on the podcast. You remember this song? No. Came out a couple years ago? Him and AMG?
Nah, that shit's awesome.
This is how I met Quick when this was out. It was on MTV.
Yep. Yeah, we had MTV Jam of the Week. Diamonds on my fingers, a couple weeks ago. Walked into the party and seen so
many. Can you work with that? Can you work with that? That's just awesome. I didn't know it. I don't even know it. That shit's fucking great. What year is that? Like 05?
06.
06? Who's out? Is there anyone you really would want to work with right now that you think would suit you well and vice versa?
Yeah, I like Ty Dolla $ign. He's like the new little R&B guy.
Have you fucked with him at all yet?
Yeah, he's in one of my videos. I did this underground video with Sugar Free called Nobody, and he's in it.
And, what I got?
And he's got this.
You have DJ Quick's information?
I wonder if these numbers are valid. Any of that matters?
Nope.
Everything's outdated.
5-9 number used to work. That was a home.
One of them used to work.
Then
so good news for you.
The other one.
The other one was nothing. Ty Dolla $ign. What about, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
What about a J-Rock situation?
What's J-Rock?
J-Rock, TDE, J-Rock.
I did a record on his album.
Okay. On this album?
Warner Brothers. No, when he was on Warner Brothers.
On the original album that never came out.
Yeah. I mean, he introduced me to K-Dot. I put K-Dot on a video game, EA Sports NBA Live 10.
What do you mean you put him on the video game?
I produced a record for the video game. And I invited him to come in and jam, and dude did the hook, and I'm like, this dude is ridiculous. He ain't even rapping. 2009.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Merce was on it, Corrupt. We just did this wild record, and then I remixed it.
How many songs did you do for the game?
Just one in a remix. So it was like two sides.
So you have lots of different places you get checks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't get checks in music no more, so might as well.
So it comes from the publishing and the video games and the... just everything.
You gotta put your hands in everything now.
That's what she said.
Hi-yo.
I gotta go to a meeting.
Alright, we're gonna wrap. I'm wrapping up.
You don't gotta keep speaking.
No.
Keep conversing with the Quickster.
The Quickster's amazing. How long are you in town for, Quick?
I'm here till tomorrow. I'm trying to go to Sue's Rendezvous tonight.
Absolutely. As you should.
You know.
Today's Wednesday, though.
It's a bad night. Well, we out of town tomorrow, so we're gonna go try.
Nah, I guess every night's a good night, but Tuesday's the night. Well, it used to be. What do I know?
I used to call it Sue's Day.
I don't.
Slife, remember when we used to do Sue's Days?
Yeah.
We did a couple.
But whatever.
I'll think if there's another situation. If there's anything else popping on a Wednesday.
Check out, y'all.
Wait, what do you got to talk about?
The album's called The Midnight Life.
Okay.
Comes out on my label Tuesday.
Tuesday, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera.
iTunes, everything. It's already, you can pre-order it on iTunes. But what it's about is, you know, we all know that the industry is like hurting. This is a crazy industry and who knows how long it's going to be around. I just believe that music is going to outlast the industry if any one of them has to go away.
Of course.
You know.
Music ain't going anywhere.
I'm going no goddamn where. You might be a bitch to sell it. Might be hard to sell it or whatever, or get it, you know, broad on a broad level. But, you know, this is, you know, I'm just trying to add to my legacy. I want to do my 10th
album. It'll come back.
With the industry?
No, big music.
You know if you push the little button on the side of
it. Yeah, sorry. No, because I was saying this the other day, like, I thought Kanye said something, or somebody said something, that Kanye's new album is going to be like Thriller. It'll never be Thriller, because Thriller had two components. Great music.
Yes.
But the way music got out back in those days, it was like word of mouth and folklore is what made it so big. True. That it spread slowly through the generations. Now music goes like that.
Yeah. We just had
It's a new song.
We just had this conversation with Usher last week, where he was talking about how social media makes like nothing special.
Yeah.
Like you're too connected to artists. There's no mystique.
Right.
That I think is big. And I also think like if Kanye wants to, and Kanye is a great choice as someone who could take things to a different place. Like he has the option to change the game.
Right.
But you need to make a fucking event if you want to be Michael Jackson.
But
Thriller was a goddamn event.
Say it. You can't say your album's going to be Thriller if you want it to be Thriller.
No.
You got to make Thriller.
You got to make, you got to have.
But I think Kanye could make Thriller.
No, he could,
but the problem is he'll be like, this shit is Thriller. And you'd be like, no, it ain't.
Well,
you're automatically going to conflict with him.
Guess what? I don't want to see your fucking video on Nah right then. I want you to premiere it on NBC on a Friday night at 11 o'clock.
Man.
You remember the good old days when you have a moment?
Yeah.
And people, yo, even as late as Michael Jackson's Scream, in Black or White, those videos were weeknight primetime events.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's the word, event. And who?
Event is the word.
What record company is going to put that much money into getting that kind
of event? No record company. It would have to be somebody else. The video would have to be paid for by Google.
Yeah, or.
Like, it's a Google.
Yeah, you're right.
Or somebody, like,
a TV show or the TV station, the network.
See, but that's the flawed thing, you know, being Monday morning quarterback. That's the flawed thing with what, like with Jay-Z's album thing, which was cool.
Yeah.
I wish you could take the money from a company like that and flip it the other way. Instead of making it as digital and easy as possible, take that money in branding and do something fucking awesome and old school that invades our lives in like a different way. Like, I understand why people want to use the
digital.
But
going back is what I'm saying. There's a whole bunch of these.
I'm building a stereo site in my house.
What are we talking about right now?
I'm putting a stereo together.
I met with this company, this technology company, and they were telling me that the new fad or the new way of life soon, within the next year, privacy.
Whoa, serious?
Yeah, like they're starting to really see people.
Can I invest in that? I want to invest in privacy.
Yeah, they have like people coming to them like, how do I erase everything offline? Like online, I mean.
Dude,
like, erase all my Twitter, everything.
Trying
like,
to get Wikipedia, dude. Wikipedia is like a canker sore, bro. You can't, that's just.
You know how hard that is?
It's impossible.
I can get you a guy. I had to pay to get my Wikipedia page complete because I used to have one, and then I amended it. And after I amended it, and without the proper resources, it got pulled down. Some hater pulled it down. Once it was pulled down, could not get it back up. It was impossible. I had to find some nerd. Through another nerd, and I paid like $750, something like that, to rebuild my fucking page and source it properly.
Shit.
And by the way, Sy, get it taken care of.
What?
Because you're coasting.
What do you mean?
No one. I don't want to say that. Someone's gonna come for your neck.
Yeah, don't coast. I don't mind. You used to say I was Dominican, and I'm really Puerto Rican.
No, I think that part's accurate. Yours is accurate. It's just not sourced enough.
Well, it's accurate.
But the thing is, it's bullshit.
You want to be Dominican?
I know, Sif. We know you don't want to be Dominican.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely not.
Come on now.
You wearing shoes?
Got socks.
And socks. Hey, DJ Quick, the album comes out on Tuesday. Sif, we have Dominican listeners. Dominican Drew.
Yo, shout out to the Dominican El Tigre.
Yo, Quick, album's out Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
What's it called again?
The Midnight Life.
Okay, I'm going to do something weird. I'm going to buy it.
You are actually going to buy it. I'm going to buy it too. I'm excited.
Is it fucked up that I always buy West Coast music?
A little bit. You do. Oh, you only buy West Coast music.
I bought 3 YG albums. I needed a sealed one.
You bought 3 copies?
Yeah.
Goddamn. YG.
There's like a regular version. There's like a deluxe.
Well, the YG album's amazing though.
Yeah.
It's money well spent. It's probably the best album of the year so far.
Buy a lot of West Coast.
Quick. It's been an honor. We're really thrilled that you came by.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me.
His name is DJ Quick. Quick is the name, actually.
Hey, this is what else I'm doing, y'all. I did a remix on YG's album, me and Mac 10, on the song Big and Back Being Boo.
You did a, hold on.
From there, yeah, I rapped on it.
Where is that?
It's coming out. Like, we left the studio finished. And
with YG, it's an official remix?
Yes.
There's a Big and Back Being Boo remix?
Yeah, with Mac 10.
Big and
I just got a rap boner.
Big and Back Being Boo. Now I'm about to go get me some bacon.
Some bacon, huh? Fried bacon.
I fucking love that song.
Then we went to I went to the other studio and remixed Spoon, a song for the group Spoon.
Spoon? I'm unaware.
So rock and roll.
Yeah,
just alternative rock.
Really?
Good remix, too. I think I did my thing.
If he does say so himself.
If I do say so myself.
Yo, DJ Quick.
Talk about Mustard.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Mustard's my guy, man.
Yeah, I already knew.
Mustard, I'm proud of Mustard because Mustard is, if anybody deserves some random fame and fortune, it's him because he's just a good dude, naturally. Yeah. He's a good-spirited kid. And now it all just fell in his lap.
Mustard is DJ Quick and Little John's child. Just so you know.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something else there, too, though.
Little dads. Little dads sprinkled on. Dad's a drunk uncle.
Man, thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Quick.